And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, thank you so much for tuning in today. We have the incredible Eli Howard on the show with us. This is an episode I've been waiting to get out to you, only because we had so much other shit to get out that was time-pressing. But this episode does not disappoint. It is one of two today. We have Eli Howard and we have Jesse Haynes as well out today. Eli Howard, what can I say? There's nothing I can say that will do justice to how awesome this dude is. We had a great time. We could have talked and talked for hours and hours and hours. I honestly didn't expect the conversation to be as easy and as simple as it was. And, you know, thank you, Eli, for coming on the show and being such a force and a badass. And, you know, this kid's doing it, guys. He's doing it, and he's honestly, he's kicking ass at it. If you ever get a chance, go out and see him. If it is your first time here, thank you again. Go check out our socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Don't go to Twitter. Twitter sucks. Or X or whatever the fuck it is. But check us out at bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com. That is our website. We are adding things all the time to it. So, you know, keep coming back. So thank you so much for tuning in today. Happy New Year. It is New Year's Eve, right? Saturday? Sunday's New Year's Eve. Wow, damn, 2024 is almost here. We got a big 24 coming up. I have a feeling. I can feel it in my bones. Eli Howard does too. I can feel that in my bones too. So sit back, relax, enjoy. Happy Saturday. Thank you for tuning in today. Without further ado, our conversation with Eli Howard. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailswooster.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
Mr. Howard.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm great.
Awesome, man. It's great to have you on the show, finally.
Dude, I'm so sorry this took so long. Like, dude, every bro, time I thought we were going to be able to make this happen.
Don't even something... worry, man.
Oh, man. Like, I didn't realize till, like, I know, like, the day we were supposed to is, like, the night before some guy's like, hey, you should come in down to Austin. Like, we're already in Austin. He's like, I got this really nice studio. You guys should come record a song. And the deal he cut us for it, like, I couldn't say no.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. You gotta do what you gotta do, bro.
Yeah, and I'm due to put out some more new music anyways, so.
Sweet.
And we had a song we wanted to record, so it's just like, I couldn't say no to it.
That's awesome, man. You always gotta do what you gotta do, what's best for you, man.
Well, I just hope you never felt like I was blowing you off.
Oh, God, no.
I really wanted to talk to you.
God, no. It would be what, you know, there's been times where, you know, I kid you not, where we have done episodes, and in the middle of the episode, like, you know, something comes up. You know, it's like, oh, hey, oh, my dog's throwing up, and then, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, let's reschedule and never hear from them again. So, you
well, know that's, I've been doing this long enough to know that, like, and it's not all of them, but there's a lot of snakes in this industry, man, and there's a lot of people that'll just, like, lie to you or just I don't know, they kind of treat you like you're not a person.
Yeah,
and it that's why so many musicians I really feel get burned out and quit is because of people like that.
Yeah, there's so many people out there that are like, you know, how can I screw you as fast as I possibly can?
Right. Or just, I don't know, like, they get to a point where it's just like, you know, like, it's like, I feel like there's sometimes, because I still do a lot of my own booking.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's almost like dealing with an insurance agent where they're just like, they wear you down to the point where you just finally give up and stop trying.
Right.
And, I don't forget how I felt when that happened to me, so I don't want to be that guy and make someone feel that way.
Well, I appreciate you for that. So, you know, it's a wild industry, though, huh, man? It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's there's times where I get out there because we go for just because geographically where we're at, just to get anywhere, we have to stay out for a long time. You know, being all the way out in Oregon.
Yeah.
And there's days where I'm just like, God, I gave up my job for this shit.
Right, right. So you're in Oregon. So you get up way early to do this.
Yeah, well, I've been up for a couple hours.
All right.
It was just like, I've been a full-time musician for like a year and a half now. And it was just like maybe a month ago. My old job, I used to have to be there. We started at 5 a.m. So I had to be up at like just before 4 o'clock. And for the first year and some change after I became a full-time musician, I left that alarm on my phone. And it was just a reminder to myself, like, it's up to you now whether or not you get up or you can roll over and go back to bed.
Wow.
But just don't forget how grateful you are that you get to do this.
Right, right. So what was the moment that you said, you know, when did it come together for you that you were like, all right, I can quit my job and do this?
Well, I went on a tour. I was a mechanic before I did this. And in the day and age we live in right now, laborers are kind of hard. You know, there's help wanted signs everywhere, yeah. At least where I'm at. I don't know where I don't have a finger on that pulse really anymore. But just people in the trades are, it's like they just kind of discourage my generation to do it.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, well, I'm going on this tour, like, you can either fire me or let me come back. Like, either way, I'm going to do it, whether you like it or not. I'm, you know, like, if I don't have a job when I come back, I'll come get my toolbox. But they kind of hit me with this ultimatum. I don't know if it was like a scare tactic or what. They said, the boss said, well, I'll put it to you this way. If we fill your spot while you're gone, sorry about your luck. And I just told the guys, like, well, I've been here 2 years and you've had a help wanted sign out front the whole time. So I'm going to take my chances.
Right.
And then we got into the tour we were doing, and we got like a week and a half in, and we got our gear, van, trailer, everything got stolen from us.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was like, God dang it. Like, I knew was we all had our suitcases with our clothes, and I had enough money to fly us all home. But I had no guitars, and then like a bunch of people donated to us, and Kenny Fiedler let me use his van for a week, and then Nick Sterling and the Nomads let me finish out the tour with his van. We honored every single date, and by the time we got back, I just, like, the demand for us got high enough where I felt like I could justify it, and I just told my boss, like, I can't do this and be a good employee to you at the same time, so, like, now's just as good a time as any for me to just take the plunge. Like, I don't think I would have ever felt, like, ready, like, okay, this is the time. So I just said, like, all right, like, if they want us bad enough where we can finish out a tour after getting everything stolen, like, we might as well go for it.
Yeah, fuck it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm young. And this guy told me, I remember we were almost, I'd kind of made up my mind during the tour because, like, you know, I felt like if I could do that, I could conquer about anything. You know, if I could keep going on a tour with, you know, with three different vans and everything. And I remember this guy told me, who was also a mechanic, and he said, Eli, there's wheels on those toolboxes for a reason.
Right.
So,
right.
So I just said, all right, we're going to do it. And I knew I had a really secure job where I was at too. So I just kind of, I was like, all right, I'm just going to pay more attention to the stuff, you know, like, from now on, like, guitars that I buy or like music gear, they're work tools. They're not frivolous purchases you're going to make. Like, I can't buy $5 coffees every waking hour of the day like I enjoy, and, you know, I just have to pay closer attention to, but, you know, if you want something, you'll go out and get it.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the beauty of, like, living in America. Like, if I have a dream or a goal that, you know, well into my 30s, I can say, like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah,
no one can stop me.
That's right, absolutely not, especially with that attitude.
Yeah. And, like, my dad was always worked really hard. Now, like, he was a really good example for me. I remember, like, he started his own business in his 40s. He started, like, I get a lot of Hank Hill jokes, but my dad started this propane business in his 40s. And I remember he took me with him. I was really, really little, like still in elementary school. And I remember he would just drive around on Sundays because that was the day off he had from his normal job. And he would just drive around and look for propane tanks out in front of people's houses. And he'd knock on their door and say, "Can I fill your tank?" And it's like, yeah, I know. It's like, and I mean, he's going to sell his business and this year and hopefully retire. Like, and you know, he's made a really, really good living for himself. But I remember him like just stoked one day. He's like, "I broke $100 in sales." Like, and now, you know, like his standards have changed so much from that. It's crazy. And you know, like, just to start from nothing, that was such a good example for me to see that, you know, and he just wanted it and he went out and got it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So are you from Oregon, like, originally?
My whole life. My family, I've lived in the town of Molalla my whole life. My parents have too. Like, my family's lived in the town I'm in since the 50s.
Damn.
Yeah, they came up from California. My dad's dad was in World War II. And he went down to, he started at the Oregon coast in his life, and timber was a big part of the infrastructure there. And it kind of went south. And the way he told my dad and the way my dad told me was, he said, "I had two choices. I either stayed there or I ate." So he moved to Modesto, California at some point. I don't know if it was after the war or what, but he learned to be a baker.
Huh.
And then he moved up to Molalla when they were pregnant with my dad. My mom and dad are each one of six kids. And they moved to Molalla shortly, but it was 1955 when they moved to where they're at now, and they started a bakery.
Nice.
And and the building's still there. It's not a bakery anymore, but yeah, that's, and then at night he would go, timber is really big in Molalla where we're at. And at night he would go work in the mills.
Wow. That's like the true all American story.
Yeah. Yeah. My grandpa on my mom's side worked in the mills too. And then my dad owned a log truck when I was younger. Like, yeah, my dad's blue collar to the bone.
Damn. That's awesome. So how does music come into your life, you know, as a kid or, you know, whatever?
I wasn't raised around it. I'm the only, like, I counted one time and I got, like, if you count like second cousins and everything, dude, I got like 90 something cousins, because like there's just so many people in my mom's side of the family and my dad's. And it's like, I'm the only one that plays an instrument.
Wow.
Yeah. I swear to God, this is where it came from. When I was young, I had, my parents worked a lot. So like they had to take me to a daycare, you know, to catch the bus to get to school. And I watched Back to the Future like almost every day. And when Marty McFly saved the day by playing Johnny B. Goode, I was like, oh man, like, look at how this dude went from being a nerd and getting beat up to, like, you know, being a hero with his guitar.
Right. Right. Damn.
And I was bit by music ever since then.
You know, I don't think there's a better role model than Marty McFly.
Dude, and those movies still hold water to me. Like, they're still my favorite series of movies. We have, in our van, we have someone crocheted a Doc Brown little doll that we have sitting in our van. It's like, it was a gift when I bought my band van 5 or 6 years ago or whatever it was, and it's still there.
That's awesome. That's so badass, man.
Yeah, those movies are still like... they're still cutting edge to me.
Yeah. So how do you get into music then if nobody else is?
I don't know what it was. My aunt took me, do you know, like, I don't know how familiar you are with Seattle. There was a Paul Allen that used to, he started part of Microsoft with Bill Gates, and was a big music fan. And Jimmy, you know, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, like, Seattle has a pretty rich music history. He started this museum that I think it just started kind of as a tribute to Jimi Hendrix.
Yep.
And then it just started
like it became like it snowballed into just it encompassed like pop culture and, you know, became like all parts of music and even like cinema. And it's called, I think it was called like Experience the Music Project, like the experience, I think, being like part of like, you know, Jimi Hendrix experience or Are You Experienced? But I just, I went and visited my aunt that lived in Seattle. And just like by luck, it was like the week it opened and she took me there. Like the second day it was open. And I.
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, DCUCenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, DCUCenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
I walked in, they had this huge screen TV, and it was Jimi Hendrix playing the national anthem at Woodstock. I was like, God, look how cool he is. And like, I always wanted to be like a lead guitar player.
Yeah. Huh. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and luckily, my love for it hasn't diminished any. Like, I still. Yeah.
You guys have a very unique sound. You know, you have, you know, even though we are, you know, a quote unquote country music show. You know, like you encompass a lot of different things, you know, but still have that song, you know, that that storytelling aspect to your music that, you know, I think people that listen to real country music appreciate.
Well, I think that's like the cornerstone of it for me is like, because I'm a huge Todd Snyder fan, and he's a fellow Oregonian too, and he's like that's. When I listen to Todd Snyder, I don't listen to his studio records. I listen to his live stuff, and it's for the store. Like, to me, him talking is just as captivating as the songs he writes.
Sure, yeah.
And so, like, and I just love so many different styles of music, and I think it's part of it was because I was so deprived of it when I was young. Like, I didn't know that families, like, listened to music in the house, like, when they were cooking dinner or cleaning. Like, my mom only listened to top 40 country radio in the car, and that was it. And my dad's listened to talk radio since he was 16. He doesn't know anything about me. Like, grew up through the 70s, couldn't name you a single Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd song, nothing like that.
No shit.
Swear to God.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Like, no love for music whatsoever. Just, it's not for him. Like,
wow.
The most enjoyment he gets out of music is Sunday morning. If he's not completely buried in work, is praise and worship music at his church. That's the most he dives into music.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, it's something that he can, it's here or there for him. Like, no, you know, he doesn't seek it out. He doesn't turn on FM radio. It's just something that's there floating out in the world for him, you know. But, you know, my mother listens to top 40 country radio.
Wow. So what do they think of what you're doing, like, in your sound?
You know, I don't know if my dad could name a single song I've ever written or played.
Fair enough.
And that's fine. He's come out and seen me a couple times, and he's, I think he's happy for me. It was more like, my dad's standpoint on it was like, if you're going to do it, give 100% effort at it.
Right. Right. If you're going to do it, don't fuck around.
Right. And I think he's glad that we're grinding as hard as we are, even though he misses me. You know, he gets nervous that we go out like during the winter when it's snowing and stuff like that. And I don't think he likes us being that far from home. You know, anytime we go out, we're gone for a month. And sometimes we did two runs in 23 that were 6 weeks.
Damn.
Yeah, and that's a lot, you know. Like, we're on track. I think by the end of the year, we'll have done 200 shows, and that's, you know, that's travel included and everything, and days off. You know, like, we can't play 7 nights a week, so I mean, we are gone probably close to 300 nights.
Right. Wow. Damn, man, you're like killing it.
I don't know if we're killing it, man. We're just working hard. Like, there's no, like, hard work will work when talent doesn't.
That's true. But you know what? That's killing it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, man. You're living a dream, man.
I'm living my dream.
That's right. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Damn. So once you start playing and writing tunes, like, how do you not having a, you know, a music background, how do you decide, all right, this is what I want to sound like?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I never really like answered that question. So like I was so deprived of music that when I finally got it and like found out how to get access to it, I just took it all in. You know, Beatles. I remember there was a video store in my hometown and they had this one, like, I don't know why I walked by it, but it was a very narrow, like, you know how they have like sci-fi horror. They had this one and it was like the whole section of DVDs was like maybe 4 feet wide and it said special interest.
Okay.
I was like, what kind of weird shit's going to be here? And there's two DVDs sitting side by side with each other. One was Led Zeppelin, The Song Remains the Same, which was from 75, their performance at Madison Square Garden. And the other one was Jimi Hendrix Live at Woodstock.
Huh, okay.
And I was like, I rented them both. And I just like, I was like, that was the first time. Because, you know, like they didn't have YouTube back then when I was in seventh grade, you know, 12 years old, wanting to know about guitar. Like you learn guitar out of books.
Right, right.
Or if you had a friend. But now it's, you know, like, information is so ubiquitous.
Now, Eli, I'm going to just interrupt you real quick. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 34.
Oh, okay. All right. So you and I are in the same ballpark. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because when we were kids, I remember, you know, trying to play guitar and it was like, you know, my friends were like, well, you're just going to print tabs off the internet. And,
which know, I did.
And like, I could never figure that shit out.
Well, I honestly, like, I think it was probably luck for me, too. Like, we were kind of poor growing up and we didn't have a printer.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I had to, like, if I wanted to learn a song, I had to look at the screen and write them down. And I think that habit of just looking and writing it, I could take the information in because, like, I think it went through my brain easier than just, like, staring at it. So, like, I would memorize, and I would do that with tabs, too.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it helped me learn faster by, like, not having it.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That makes all the sense in the world. It's kind of like taking notes.
Exactly.
You know, when you're taking notes in class or whatever, when you're in high school or college, like, you remember that shit a lot easier than if you're just like, oh, all right. You know, like, don't take notes.
Plus, you have a little bit of sweat equity into it, too. Like, you know, you're invested. It's like, well, I went through the effort of writing this down. Like, I better get it.
Right, right. So, oh, shit.
So, like, I think it was the summer. My mom got me enrolled into guitar lessons. And I just, you know, I learned my basics. And then it was the summer going from my eighth grade year to freshman year where I finally, like, had a little bit of command over the guitar where, like, I kind of knew what I was doing and in a sense knew why I was doing it.
Yeah.
And I remember I learned a whole Blink 182 record and the whole Nirvana Unplugged record. Like I could play it and sing it all the way through. Like I would put the CD on a boombox and I would just play along to the record and I could do it front to back by the time like it was time to go into my freshman year in high school.
Wow.
And to this day, the Unplugged record's still one of my favorite records of all time.
From Nirvana?
Yeah. It's just, it never lost its touch for me. Like, all I don't know, probably a little outdated, but.
I'm going to ask you this, all right? And I get a lot of shit for this, and I fully 100% expect to get shit from you for this. Ready?
Okay.
Growing up where you grew up, right? And growing up where I grew up, you know, we're on two 100% different coasts, you and I.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I've always been a music guy, but I'm not going to lie to you. I cannot, for the life of me, stand Nirvana.
Man, I can see why. I get that. Like, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. Like, my opinion,
whether it's wrong or not.
Yeah, it's like I heard it just the other day. An opinion is the lowest form of human knowledge.
That's true.
I mean, true. So I mean, like, why is my opinion any louder than yours? Like, I think Nirvana is great. I think that they of all the Seattle grunge bands, like I would say Soundgarden was probably like more musically sound and definitely Pearl Jam, but Nirvana had cooler songs. Like they were just like a heavier version of the Beatles, you know, like they would repeat lines over and over. This line, they were songs that could get stuck in your head.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like Kurt Cobain definitely didn't have a better voice than Cornell.
But no, Cornell's got a voice in his own.
He's the best rock singer of all time, in my opinion. But like,
yeah.
I don't think he wrote cooler songs than Cobain did.
You know, in my opinion,
that's totally my opinion.
And that's fine. That's fine. I'm more curious in your opinion, to be honest.
But I mean, I don't hate any of those bands, though. I think they all did a great thing. It's like, and I mean, you can't deny, like, whether you like Kurt Cobain or not, like,
he killed an entire genre of music in like in one music video on MTV. Like when Teen Spirit came out, hair metal died that day.
Yeah.
And like, whether you love him or hate him, you can't say, I mean, like, we're still talking about him 30 years later.
True. True. Now let me ask you, do you think Nirvana has the appeal or the mystique that it has 30 years later if Cobain doesn't die and they keep going?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah. There's an interview somewhere I watched, and it was Kurt Cobain. I mean, so he was still alive, and they said, like, how long do you think this buzz is going to last? Like, do you think they're ever going to stop talking about it? And he said, probably not. And he was right.
Damn. I mean,
he moved mountains with his music, man. And like, I don't know if they would have lasted. I think when you're that young to all of a sudden be under such a microscope, he probably would have gave up or something was going to give, the band was going to break up. You know, I mean, believe what you want to believe about how he died, but there's no doubting he was a heroin addict. I mean, that's not a sustainable way to live. So something was going to have to give. The band was going to break up, or they were going to have to take some sort of intervention, or.
Right.
I mean, they were kids, like,
right.
20. He died at 27. That's a kid.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be the most popular rock singer in the entire world at that age, I mean, like, I could see why it could send a guy over the edge.
Yeah. Now, have you listened to or read Dave Grohl's book that he put out recently?
Yes, I listened to it on the audiobook, and I loved it.
I did too. I actually just finished it not too long ago, and I agree. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And you know, he kind of got into that. I think he really kind of put it out there that, you know what, even, you know, at the time that Kurt was going downhill, like, so was Nirvana as a whole, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't the only one with his issues. Like, Novoselic was drinking out of control, and
right.
I mean, it wasn't just him, but I mean, unfortunately, when you're the frontman, you're writing all the songs, a lot of responsibility just kind of lands on you, whether you want it or not. And
right. Now, do you feel that as the frontman that takes on everything?
Yeah, I mean, but I welcome it. I mean, yeah. I'm the one piloting this ship. My guys shouldn't have to take on that stress. That's my job.
But you're also not, you know, I think you're not also at the stardom that Kurt Cobain is.
Either. No. And you know. I don't know if I'd ever want to be, because like, when you get that big, look at how many people it takes to move a machine that big. Like,
that's true.
I mean, look at how many people you think they employed.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Just to move a 3-piece band around. I mean, it's. I don't know if I'd ever want to have that level of success. Like, that sounds like more problems.
Yeah, more problems than it's worth, huh?
Yeah.
Now, for what you guys are doing and all the travel you do, right? Where have you seen the most success?
I think Idaho is always really, really good to us. We're starting to see, like, we were just in Kansas and Oklahoma, and we're starting to see people that, like, are coming back to see us and stuff like that. And
yeah.
like we played at the Mercury a couple months ago, and like, and the first time we played there was a Thursday night. It was freezing cold. Like, hardly anyone showed up. And then the next time it was almost at capacity, and we got another show coming up there in January. So like, but like, we've been hitting it in Idaho for years now. Like, before I was even fronting this band, I've only been fronting a band for 2 years.
Oh, okay. So were you just solo before that?
No, I was like, I've never been a frontman before this. I was just a lead guitar player.
Oh, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. So what made you decide to jump to make such a leap?
Well, me and the singer in that band just like, I just it's one of those things, like, we'll probably never get it right. Like, and he had an idea of how hard he wanted to work, and I had an idea of how hard I thought we should be working. And like we were just saying earlier, when you're a frontman, there's a certain level of responsibility you get to assume.
Yeah.
And the band broke up, and it was to a point like none of us were really getting along. And so it was probably the best thing. I was like, well, okay, like if I want to be in control of how hard I get to work, the best thing I can do is write my own songs, front my own band, go record an album, and just go tour. Like,
sure.
Like
I wasn't really like looking for any shortcuts, like, oh, maybe I could get famous if I do this. Like, no, I want to get in a van and just go out and go do it. And so luckily COVID was going on, so nobody was playing. So I didn't really have to give an excuse why my band wasn't active.
Right.
And so I just like, I set a date for myself because I didn't really have all the songs rounded up. All I know is like, I want an album with at least 10 songs on it. And I had my buddy Tim, he produced my record, and I just said to him, like, this date, I want to be at your place doing pre-production on this record. And when you're staring a deadline in the face, that should ignite a fire in you where you'll get ambitious enough to work. So like, I just started writing songs, and I think I came in with 12, we cut it down to 10 songs. And that's how I did my first record.
Wow.
And to me, it was just like, I don't want to say we rushed the record, but like my mindset at the time was like, this is just because like recording isn't my favorite part of being a musician, or at least, and I hated it a lot more then than I do now.
Yeah.
But I was just like, to me, it was like, okay, this is the key to the car that is like, which is the vehicle of me being able to go tour. Like I can go play music and leave them with something if I have an album out.
Sure.
And like, I took a little bit more time on the second record. On this last tour we were on, we stopped in with Tim, the guy that produced my first record. We crossed the finish line on our second studio record. So. Damn.
That's so awesome, man. Like I love that you know, your story here, you know,
thank you.
So, you know, like anybody that's listening to this is probably like, what the fuck? They've gone from Marty McFly to Nirvana to writing record to like, but like that's the beauty of this.
Yeah, there's no rules in music. There's only guidelines.
Hell yeah.
You know, there's not much music that I won't take inspiration from.
Sure.
And it's just a lot of the music that I don't or won't is because it's like over my head. Mm-hmm. As far as like my understanding of it. Like jazz, I mentally check out when I listen to it because it's beyond what I can comprehend. Like I can listen to about a song or two from Dream Theater and just be like, man, this is like, I don't get it.
Right. I get that. I totally understand that 100%. 100%. You know, because like, and like, I like that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. Like on our last road trip, we listened to the new Avenged Sevenfold record and it's unbelievably technical.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I respected it, but it, like, there's parts of me I was like, God, this is kind of hard to follow. But I mean, I still gave it a listen because like, I respect what they do so much.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's hard too, though. You know, it's hard to, you know, sometimes it's hard to listen to something and it just sink, you know, the first time or at all.
Yeah. You gotta, for me, like, I don't really make any judgments on a record till I listen to it two or three times through.
Right. Right. You know, and I think that's why, you know, we've gotten some advanced copies of albums that are coming out here shortly. And I think that's why they send them out so far in advance.
Yeah.
You know, because it is, you do need to listen to something a few times before you can really get a, you know, an honest opinion about it.
Right. Yeah. And not going in with any like preconceived notions, like I'm going to hate this because it's this. It's like, give it right. A chance. Like, I think a lot of people, I think that's why so many people just don't get Sturgill Simpson, is they go in and they go in listening to a record from him, expecting him to just recreate Metamodern over and over, or High Top Mountains. Like, well, right. You know, and then the next, you know, what was it? Sailor's Guide has a horn section. And it's like, well, what the fuck is this? You know, it's like, well, why don't you just go into it with like the only thing in mind is that you're going to hear a Sturgill record and that's it. Like why go in with any preconceived notions that it's going to be this or that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, why not just respect him as a musician before you go in with any other thoughts in your head? And I think if you do that with anything you're going to listen to, you'll get far more enjoyment out of it.
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know,
the other thing too.
Uh-oh. I lost you. Are you there?
Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of the Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check him out, theporchsouthern.com.
What did somebody call
you? I lost you.
That's all right.
So my dad was calling me. Sorry about that. I think my dad was calling me.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
So anyways, like, back to what I was saying. I don't even know what I was saying, but like, oh yeah. So like with Sturgill Simpson, like I really feel like when I listen to what he's doing and like how far off the beaten path he goes with each reoccurring record, it's like his mindset. It's like, I've been there and I've done that. Like, don't expect me to do that over again.
Right.
And I love that about him. Like, that's one of my favorite things. I mean, other than the fact that he has really, really cool songs every album he puts out, the fact that he's always trying to like push himself to do something else is like, that's what everyone should strive to do. Like, I've always said this, only AC/DC can get away with putting the same record out over and over.
True, because it is the absolute same fucking thing over and over.
Yeah, and it's cool. And like, and people listen to it and they sing along. It's like the drum beats are super simple, but their songs are cool, you know?
Yeah, it's classic AC/DC.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you're getting into.
Right, and it's part of their charm.
Right. Absolutely. You know, it's not like, you know, some of these people that, you know, that like are liked by, you know, maybe not the mainstream. You know, Tyler doesn't have he has a mainstream appeal, but it's not like a Toby Keith, or, you know what I mean? You get what I'm trying to say?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so it's not like, you know, he doesn't have to have that same style or sound either.
Yeah, man, I listened to his new record and I thought it was great, but I heard a lot of people bag on him about it.
Yeah, well, because a lot of people have nothing else to do, man.
Yeah, it's that's true. And I don't know, I would hope that Tyler Childers writes songs to make himself happy and nobody else, and just the right people caught on. Like, I think that's what everyone's opinion should be.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, if you like an artist and they're putting something out, you know, they're doing it twofold. They're doing it, one, because it's what they want to put out, and two, they're hoping that you're going to like it.
Right, and that's, like, I don't ever, like, write or record music with, like if I'm not happy with it, that's not going to be the final cut, you know? Like, I don't say, like, well, I don't like it, but people are going to like it. Like, I don't ever put out music with the intention of manipulating people.
Right, and you're never gonna put out something where you're like, hey, I really like this song, I hope nobody else likes it.
True, yeah. Like, I just, but on the other side of that coin, I really don't give a shit if they like it or not. Like, if I'm proud of it, that's how it's gonna go down. But,
and that's the way it should be. That's absolutely right. The way it should be.
Yeah, and I hope. I don't think there's like, I see a lot of people like with that don't have that sense of freedom necessarily. Like, I think they're scared, and like I don't think people should worry too much about what other people think of them.
No, I don't think so either, at all.
And, you know, like, I think people worry too much about being not enough of this or too much of that, you know, like, it's not country enough, it's not rock and roll enough. It's like, well, this is just music, man. Like,
yeah, because, you know, I agree with that. You know, if I gave a shit really what people you know, what somebody thought about this show, this show would be totally different than what it is.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you wouldn't be happy with it anyways. And no matter what, they're going to talk shit anyways.
Right. Exactly. You know, I talk shit about other podcasts and stuff, but that's just me being an asshole. Right. And you know, cause I have this style, this, you know, shoot the shit, shoot the breeze kind of style. Like, I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about next. No clue.
Yeah, you know, that's what I liked about this, is you didn't like hit me with like a bullet point thing of the shit we were going to talk about. Like, I texted you a half hour early and said, hey, I'm ready when you are.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, that's really the way, I mean, obviously that doesn't work with everybody, right? And that doesn't, well, it doesn't work with every host, I should say. You know, some hosts need a whole, you know, a bullet point. I can't tell you how many PR people have like, these can be your talking points. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck what the talking points are.
I don't when people send that to me, I don't read them.
No, I don't either. At this point, it's just delete.
I got good enough people skills where I can carry a conversation with someone without.
Exactly. And if you don't, like, not for nothing, you should, on my end of the microphone, you shouldn't be doing this.
Very true. Yeah. Like, if you can't carry a conversation, then you might have picked the wrong hobby or profession or whatever. Right. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, you have to have the gift of gab, man. You have to have some sort of people skills, whether you like people or not.
Yeah. And I listen to a lot of podcasts of all different subjects. And I try to take something I really pay attention to is, like, some people are just so good at it. Like,
yeah.
Chael Sonnen, the former UFC fighters, like, that guy could talk the ears off of corn.
Yeah.
Like, he's so good at talking. Like, he doesn't need to prepare anything. Like, he's such a dynamic speaker. And, like, do you ever watch his rants on YouTube?
I'm not even sure I know who that is.
Oh man, he fought in the UFC. He's retired now, but he was a tough dude back in his day. But, like, so he gives a lot of, like, fight insight.
Okay.
You know, whether it's boxing or MMA or anything, and just, like, he'll just turn on a camera and talk for 15 minutes. He's not talking to anyone other than the lens of his camera.
That's awesome.
And he's good at talking, though. When he gives a hot take or an opinion, I listen to it.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, you know, I never got into UFC or fighting or boxing or anything like that. I just never got into it.
I don't really like boxing so much because, like, I always thought it was weird that, like, all right, me and this guy are going to beat the crap out of each other. And but we have an agreement. Like, we can only hit from here to here.
Right.
And we're going to hide the score from each other until the end, you know, like.
Right.
MMA, and I, like, with UFC stuff, like, I try to just watch the highlights. Like, I don't want to watch the, you know, I can't sit through a whole 2-hour event of two grown men, like, half naked in a cage beating the crap out of each other. It's just, like, my mind.
Does it do it for you, Eli?
No, dude, that's I check out, you know, like, but when there's, like, a marquee fight, especially the smaller guys that are, like, 160 pounds or something like that, they just, like, they never get winded.
Yeah.
And they're fast. They're like, that stuff's so entertaining to me. But, like, it is hard to watch when you just see a guy get hit. It's like, man, that could have been irreversible damage.
Right, right. Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's true. Because it's like, yeah, I listen to Rogan. You know, Rogan is, like, my podcast of choice other than the Boots and Whiskey podcast.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know, he does a lot of UFC episodes, too. And, like, I can't listen to him. You know, and a lot of it is because I just don't know what the hell they're talking about.
That's probably a lot of it. And, like, you know, he's a legit martial artist himself. Like, he's a black belt in several different disciplines.
Yeah. Yeah, he could literally kill you with his pinky finger.
Yeah, and, like, I think it's really cool that, like, you know, you can, like, when he's giving commentary, like, he sees stuff that a guy like you and I don't see.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, you know what I like about him too is, like, I mean, he talks about just about anything, you know. It's not just MMA, it's comedians or music. You know, he's had Stapleton on there. He's had Sturgill. You know, he kind of just talks about anything. He has people that claim to know have worked with aliens.
Right.
You know, it's a broad spectrum there.
Yeah, and it's you know, some of it's really fascinating. Whether you know, and, like, there's been guests on there that are like, I am gonna hate this episode, and then, like, I listen to it, and I'm like, wow, this guy's good. You know what I mean?
Dude, there's something about that though, like, especially if it's someone you disagree with. Like, if you're so dead set on your standpoint, listening to someone that you disagree with shouldn't bother you.
Right.
You know, like, it's either going to change your opinion, which is, you know, not a bad thing. You know, if someone comes up with better information than what you have or a better argument and it sways your opinion, that's great. Or if the person you disagreed with just has such a shitty point that it just makes your standpoint stronger, like, how did you lose? Like, I don't mind hearing people that I disagree with. And I think, like, that's kind of got lost in this
Oh, yeah.
Generation.
100%.
100%. You know, because even like when we were growing up, right, it wasn't the way it is now. Like there was, you could have conversation about things you disagreed about and nobody.
Not even so much conversation. It's just you didn't have to hate them. Like, oh, you think differently? Well, fuck you. Like,
right.
That's, I don't remember that even 10 years ago.
No, because it wasn't that. It's just so bizarre it's just so weird where
like family members not wanting to talk to each other over political differences or whatever. Like, it's just, to me, it's just, we're here on rented time, you know,
right.
Like,
no, right.
That's a hell of a way to go.
Right. If you're going to be mad at your uncle, your uncle's going to be mad at you because, you know, of whatever reason that is so really probably doesn't even affect you on your day-to-day basis. Like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, I don't have room in my carry-on for that level of hate.
No. It's like, if I, you know, agree or disagree, like, whatever, man. Like, do you, bro. Like, whatever blows your hair back. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of being a human, is like, we're all made up of, you know, we've all had different experiences in our lives, and, you know, we all had different upbringings, and it led us to where we are now, and we're lucky we get to form these opinions.
Right. There's plenty of things out there that I disagree with, and you know what? But whatever. Like, if it makes somebody else happy, like, cool. Like, whatever. Like, I give a shit. You know, it's not affecting me. It's not hurting me. You know,
exactly. That's what I don't get. Is like, how does that affect the way you're living at all?
Right. You know, I think, you know, I don't know how we got on this topic, but I love it. But you know, for me and for what I'm, you know, where I am in my life, like, as long as it doesn't hurt or affect, you know, my kids or my wife or whatever, you know, or
humankind in general. Yeah.
Right. You know, like, I don't give a shit. You know, my wife and I have this kind of like thing, like, if it doesn't affect what happens in these four walls, like, who cares?
Well, I got that song called Stay in My Lane. That's kind of what that's about. It's, yeah. The time I spend worrying about you is time I could work on being a better person.
Exactly. So when you are writing tunes, are you doing it primarily from things that you've gone through?
Yeah, mostly. Like, I would say like the vast majority of it, like, it comes from something. Like, a lot of my inspiration from songwriting comes when I shut my mouth and listen to people talk. Like, and I just like, I bank phrases that I hear, and like the notepad on my phone is just full of like these little one-liners that I hear. And I just like, the most gold place I go to for like really weird quotes is like, I go to the comments section on YouTube videos, and I just take up any sort of like text like that I can, or I go to the homepage on Google and just look at what's trending, and like, I'll read news articles, and I take phrases from things that I hear.
Yeah.
And I bank them. And then when I have a chance to use them, I do. But like, I write most of the songs now, while I'm driving in our van. Like, if I don't drink. So usually I get the late night driving shift if we got to be somewhere after a show.
Yeah.
And everyone's usually asleep in the van, and I got time to think, and I just pull up the voice recorder app on my phone, and I just start spouting off stuff.
Nice. You don't drink at all? Have you ever drank?
Oh yeah, I was a drunk for 10 years.
Oh, well, way to go. Right. Way to bring it up, Clyde.
No. I have no shame in talking about it. This is the best part. It's like, I haven't had a drink, and this January will be 6 years. Like, it's something I'm proud of.
Wow. Good for you, man.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Thank you.
Damn. So, do you mind me asking?
Oh, yeah, go ahead, dude. I don't have any shame.
What brought you to the point of drinking like that, to the point of not drinking at all?
Well, I just woke up one morning after getting wasted, and I don't really remember how the night totally ended. And I was just, I thought like, all right, the time I spent doing this and the money I spent doing this, like I could have done something really, like I could have made a difference in the world, or I could have made a difference in myself. And like I was saying, my family's lived in the same town since the 50s. So a lot of people like just know me and my family.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't need to see me out in public, just sloppy drunk and just acting like a fucking idiot all the time. And I was so embarrassed in the way I acted that I just said, I'm not going to drink anymore. And I never touched it after that.
So you went cold turkey.
Yeah. I dumped out any alcohol in the house that was mine. And I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I said, if I want to, I don't think it's going away, but as of right now, I don't want to anymore.
Wow. Now, do you think if you had a drink right now, it would send you back into that spiral?
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd be right back where I started.
That's wild to me. You know, because like, you know, and you're not the only one in that boat, right?
That's one of the biggest lessons I've learned is like, I'm not as alone as I thought I was.
Right. You know, but, you know, for somebody like me where like I could have, you know, I'm sitting here in my office and, you know, every bottle of whiskey I have collected over the last couple of years is sitting here, and you know, some of them aren't open, you know what I mean, but some of them are. And you know, I don't look at it and go, I need to drink all of this right now, you know what I mean? Like that sort of thing like blows my mind, because I have an addictive personality to some things, but right. That was just never one of them. Like, I enjoy it, don't get me wrong, you know.
Well, that's what I tell people too, is like, I love it. Like, they're like, oh, you don't like beer. It's like, oh, no, I like beer. I just really like it. Like, if I have one, there isn't going to be enough.
Right. If I have one, the brewery is going to have to shut down.
Yeah, exactly. And so just, if you're aware of that, I guess it's easier to just not.
Right. So was that what you were doing? You were just drinking beers?
Oh, I was drinking everything. The only thing I didn't drink was Budweiser. I just thought it tasted bad, but I mean, I would drink whatever you put in front of me.
Damn. So, I mean, I guess we won't talk about your whiskey of choice then at the end.
I think towards the end, I was drinking a lot of Crown and Sevens.
Wow. Okay. You know, Crown is a beverage that keeps coming up with people lately.
It's good. It's reasonably priced. It tastes decent. It goes good with whatever you put. I mean, like, I can see why, but I mean, really, like, it just like, I was like always budgeting like my paycheck too, is like, I knew X amount was going to go towards me getting fucked up.
Yeah.
Just like, if it has that much reign over your mind, like, you, maybe it is a good idea to like step back a couple feet and think about your choices.
Wow. I mean, good on you to be able to just cut it off like that. That's incredible.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah, man. That's inspiring in and of itself.
Well, it's really easy when you're ready. Like, I've quit and started back up over, you know, like over those 10 years I was a drunk, I was like, oh, I'm done for good this time. And then I was like, I'd have one and then start. Like, I've quit and relapsed more times than I could count on my fingers. But like, when I was finally just done, like, you got to like, a recovering addict told me, everyone has their own personal version of rock bottom. And yeah. Rock bottom is the point where you won't lower your standards any farther. And when you hit that, then it's like the only way place you can go is up.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
and so for some people, it's losing all their money and their kids and their house. You know, for some people, it's, you know, they got to go to jail. And for me, it was just, I got sick of humiliating myself. It's just like, everyone's got their own version of it. And
right.
I mean, you can't, no one can convince you that until you've come up with that decision on your own.
Yeah, it's true. Now, do you have any other vices that, you know, kind of, I mean, other than music that, you know,
coffee?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm on, just talking to you, I'm on my third cup.
Holy shit. How are you not jumping off the walls?
I drink it all day.
Damn.
Coffee, and I love guitars and pedals.
Okay. So being in Oregon, no weed or anything? No recreational kind of thing?
I mean, like, it's there if I want it, but like, it's not really for me. Like, I always have responsibilities too in my band. Like, even if I'm not driving, you know, like, if something happens, I just always have to be present, because I don't have a tour manager right now. So it's like, I always have to be alert and aware. So like, I don't really smoke weed unless it's like, we're done driving, we're where we need to be. And my pedal steel player, Mason, has this one hitter. And I just say like, let's hit the one hitter, man. Like he knows, like, it's just like, it's time.
Yeah.
So yeah. He'll load one up for me, and then like, I'll smoke weed and then I'll just go to bed.
There you go.
But like, I don't like playing Stone. Like, I want to put on a good, like, me and my band take a lot of pride in our playing. Like, my drummer Nick practices all day on a practice pad. My pedal steel player, like Mason, like, if there's a day off, his pedal steel's out, like, he's trying to, like, you know, he wants to play his part right. Like, we all take a lot of pride in playing the songs right. So, like, getting fucked up really isn't our bag.
That's awesome.
My bass player Nick smokes a lot of weed, but
I mean, he's just the bass player, so I mean, whatever.
Yeah, he's like a white dude with dreads that plays disco. He's like the quintessential like stoner.
I love it. So are all these guys that are in your band, have you guys been together the last 2 years?
No, Nick is my bass player is the only one that's been there since the beginning. I've had some turnover, but like the lineup I got now, man, like I couldn't ask for a better lineup. It's like, you know, like it's hard finding the right fit and everything. And, you know, it's not just like I got to like them. It's like that we all got to get along together.
Right.
We got to play right. And it's just like I wanted to have people like right now, the lineup I got, like I can write songs without like I feel like it's made my writing better because like they don't I've had guys in the past that like talk shit on my songs and stuff like that. It's like I never felt as free as I do now.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's great. Now, so
yeah.
What does that look like for you, you know, as a band or as, you know, the front man slash CEO slash, you know, what whatever, you know, if there's a member of the band that isn't cutting it, do you get together with the other guys and say, hey, what do you think of this? Or do you just make that decision?
Yeah, because, I mean, I value their input. So, yeah, I just say, hey, what do you think of how that went down? And I like to hear what they say, but you know, like it's usually pretty obvious, like if a guy's playing really poorly or if a guy's just got a really bad attitude, because one bad attitude, like we're stuck in that band ain't very big.
Right.
And you know, like that one bad attitude, it sours everyone really quick.
Right.
And so like you know, sometimes that bad attitude's me, you know, like I got to check I'm human just like they are. So like sometimes it's me and like I cast a pretty large wake sometimes, you know? So like, sometimes like I just like go out to a Walmart by myself and just buy something frivolous just so they can get 20, 30 minutes where they don't have to look or talk to me.
Right.
So, and that's just, I mean, that's human nature. Like you can take the most like good-hearted people ever. You get them in a room long enough, like there's going to be disagreements.
Right. Right. And like realistically being in a band like that and being, you know, as close as you are all the time, like, you know, you're married to these people.
And we're all really, really passionate about what we're doing too. Like right. We all want this to go right.
Of course you do. Of course you do. So when I got to ask about our mutual friend, Matt.
Matt Westerman.
Yeah. What, you know, cause I've talked about him now on the show a few times and, you know, because he kind of like, he'll send me stuff. He's like, you got to listen to these guys. You got to listen to these guys. You know what I mean? And like, I'll see him out at all these shows. And it's like, well, if Matt's out there listening to these guys, there's got to be something to him.
Right.
So how do you come across Matt, of all people?
So I want to say the first time I met him was at Highway 30 Music Fest in 21.
Yep.
And, you know, he's always up front. He's a strong personality. You know, he wants to meet the bands and he was friendly, said hello. And I think we'd been friends on Facebook first and he just saw me walking across the field where Highway 30 was like, hey, you're Eli. It's nice to meet you. And I was just like, we kept in touch ever since. And he's seen Co Wetzel like a million times.
Yeah.
And I like to give him shit about it because my band played Firewater Music Fest. We did the pre-party last October or whatever it was. And, he didn't go to the pre-party because he had to see Co Wetzel. And that's where, like, I started roasting him all the time. It's like, oh, shit, yeah, I can't see. Like, I traveled across the damn country and you had to go see Co Wetzel for the 80th time. And then I just started roasting him on the internet all the time. So, like, it's like, no, oh, he's got that Prius so he can get better gas mileage driving away from my shows.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
And then it's like, but it's all in fun. Like, I love Matt.
Oh, yeah.
He's cool. But, like, so, like, we always just play along. Like if I'm ever on a lineup for a festival that he's at, he's like, well, I know exactly what time I can go take a bathroom break. So it's a joke between him and I that I love giving him shit for it, but he's a sweet dude.
Yeah. He is passionate. That's for sure.
Yeah, shit. That's what I was just like. He went to more Coe Wetzel shows last year than Coe Wetzel went to.
I can't wait for him to hear this. I cannot fucking wait. Yeah, man. So what does 24 look like for you at this moment?
Well, we're starting the year off like one of the first couple days of the year. We're starting another trek to the East Coast. So by late January, I'll be out Florida way.
Nice. Well, you're not up here.
No, I won't be going. That's like the only area of the United States I haven't hit yet is the northeastern sector. And I've never stepped foot in Florida. That's the only lower state that I haven't been to yet.
You've never been to Florida?
Never.
Damn. Even I've been to Florida, man. Come on.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's like I said, like we're kind of in a geographic nightmare for the style of music we play.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's a. I mean, luckily, though, like, I always tell people, like, I go places for work that people take time off of work to go on vacation for.
Right.
You know, like, on a day off, I walk down Bourbon Street. You know, I've been to more states than most. You know, like, my dad's damn near 70 years old. He hasn't seen as much of the country as I have.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen, like, 4 or 5 days ago, I was in Central Kansas.
And you must get some pretty, I mean, your travel time, you know, you guys make pretty decent time at that point.
Yeah, like, well, that's the beauty of having a bunch of guys that don't really drink.
Right.
Or party. It's like, I don't like to do it, but sometimes we have to cover a lot of ground after a show. And I always tell them, like, all right, I can drive to like 5 a.m. Then someone's going to have to take over. But, like, you know, we did a show one time. We were in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And then the next day, we were 45 minutes outside of New Orleans.
Damn.
And, like, it's stupid routing on my part. Like, I'm not bragging about that. Like, looking back, we probably shouldn't have done it. But, like, it was just two good shows back to back. And it got us closer to Oregon. We were on our way home by then. So, you know, it's just – it got us back that way. But, you know, it's not the greatest way to go about it, but right now I'm doing all of our booking and, you know.
Now, have you ever been on a run or whatever and, like, you know, wherever you are and then, you know, be on the way home and the phone rings and they're like, hey, you want to play this show, you know,
yeah,
on your way back kind of thing?
Yeah, I've had those. And usually we do it. I mean, we like to work. We love this. Like, the days off are the worst.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you got nothing to do other. I mean, we practice and, like, we'll talk about stuff. Like, we go to guitar shops. Like, even the days off, we just, like, spend doing stuff kind of related to music anyways. Like, we go look at guitar shops that are local or whatever. But, like, I'd rather be playing. Like, yeah. If we're playing, I can pay my band.
Right.
And, like, that's better than sitting there thinking about how much you miss home.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's true. Damn. Man, you're. I'm super excited for you. I'm so glad you came on today.
I'm so glad you asked me, man. Like, I'm flattered. Like, you have a lot of great guests on. Like, you just had Shane Smith on, if I'm not mistaken. And
yeah, Shane. We've been fortunate to develop quite a decent relationship with them.
Shane's a cool dude, man. He's been I've known him for years. Like, back when I wasn't fronting a band, like, my old band opened for him a few times, and I've always felt like he was in my corner. Like, the day we got our shit stolen, he got on a phone call with me and he gave me this dude's number. He said, call this guy. This guy's in Waco, Texas. When our bus burned down, he hooked us up with a trailer. And this guy, Martin Wright at Flat Rock Trailers, I'll never forget. I still keep in touch with the guy. I said, hey, Shane gave me your number. And they built me a trailer at cost. And it was done before the tour was over.
Damn.
It's always
good to know nice people are good people.
Yeah, dude. And then we get that new trailer and then like it was like 3 months later to the day. Like, I wrote the check May 7th and then August 7th, we were 1 mile from my house and a drunk driver rear-ended us and just destroyed our brand new trailer. And I was like, well, Martin, I'm going to have to come back and get another one. And he sold us another one.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dude, when it rains, it pours, huh? Holy shit.
Yeah, 22 was a tough year for us, man. I got all my instruments stolen and got rear-ended. And, you know, it was tough. Like, it was a test of my grit for sure.
Yeah.
But
damn,
nothing worth having comes in. We never canceled a single show over any of that, though.
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your set list. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards, all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is, no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com, at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
I mean, that was what I was proud of. It's like, we got hit on a Sunday, and like that Thursday, I was in Montana with a borrowed trailer.
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember like this mechanic shop I used to work at in the town I was at. It was Sunday night. Like I said, we're 1 mile from my home. And I was like, I didn't know what else to do, because I got this trailer that's just completely caved in. And I got all my instruments in there, and I don't know where to put them. And I was going to have to go to the hospital to get my shit checked out. And I called my old boss, and it was a Sunday after, and he was just sauced. And I hadn't worked there for years, but for whatever reason, I still had a key to his gate. He had a gated off area where he could keep stuff. And I was like, hey man, like, I just got rear-ended, and like, I'm less than a mile from your shop. I'll meet you in the morning, but like, I need to store my van and trailer inside there so no one steals my instruments. And the only thing he said to me was, don't cancel any shows. And he hung up on me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was really cool. It's like, if you're going to do it, go for it.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's so cool, man. I love your story, man. I love what you're doing. I love your band. I love your sound. I just love it all. I love it all. It's so good.
Thanks, man. I love what we're doing too. And you know, I'm proud of what we're doing. Like, we're not moving mountains or anything like that. And like, I'm not rich. I mean, I'm not even middle class, but like, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm just as happy as when I had that really secure job. Like, I feel like I'm doing what I was put on this earth to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? That's at the end of the day, that's what matters.
But when you can't put a dollar sign on that either. Like, I know people that are miserable,
right? You know, I've been sitting here thinking about it and thinking about the grind that you guys, you know, go through and all that. But so, being where you are and then having to go out on the road for as long as you do, how does that work, you know, back home? You know, how do you keep a place to stay or live at home?
I have someone go check on my house and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right. I wasn't sure if there was like a, you know, I don't know how that works, because I've never been away from home.
Yeah, we just go do it. We don't think much about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? That's the best way to do it. You know, especially when you have people at home that support you and can help you out. Like, that's great too.
Yeah, my mom comes by every couple days and
checks the mail and
yeah, exactly. And you know, I try to, you know, luck. I mean, with the day and age we live in too, like, you can pay most all your bills remotely.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
But you know, like, my van's paid off. You know, I still gotta, whether or not I'm here, I still gotta pay a mortgage or, you know, whatever the base electricity bill is.
Right, right, right. Yeah, man. Well, thanks for, you know, hanging out and, you know, giving us your story. And you know, I hopefully you can get up here in the Northeast sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think we're going to do Sturgis again in 24 for August. And if I'm going to go out your way, no offense, I don't want to do it at the winter months.
Why not? You don't want to be stuck in the snow?
No, not really.
I don't blame you, man. I don't want to be here in the winter months either.
Dude, I don't do well in cold.
No, it sucks.
And but I have family that lives out in Massachusetts too, though.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I have one of my cousins. Like I was saying, I got 90 some odd cousins, and one of them lives out there, and her and her husband really want us to go out there and play. But I haven't been able to make, it's not that I don't want to, it's just like, I haven't had an opportunity to make that work necessarily.
Okay.
It's just like, I gotta, it's like, cause you know, just geographically where we're at, it's like, okay, I gotta string together all these dates to get us there. Like, I can't just deadhead across the country. It's so much different. Like when you're in the middle of the United States, just like you can go a little bit each way, you know, like if you're in Texas, to get to Alabama is really not that hard, or to get to Louisiana. But for me to get to Louisiana is really hard.
Right. 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 Yeah. You should just do like a tour around the upper Midwest and get into the Northeast. And there's a bunch of venues around here that you could play that would, you know, that
I know in early June, we got to do a show in, we're doing a festival, which I don't even know if they've announced it. So I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'm going to anyways. Yeah, we're doing a festival like the first weekend of June in Nebraska. So I might be able to string it together then. I don't know. But
yeah, well,
I'm trying to, we worked really, really hard this year and I'm trying to make my moves count a little bit better.
Yeah, of course.
Should be, I mean, that should be everyone's ultimate goal, I would hope, but you know,
right. If you can figure it out, we can connect you with some great venues out here to get you a little, you know, a string of dates here.
Well, I would love that, man. It's like I said, I do all my own booking, so I'm the man to talk to about that. Yeah. We don't have a booking agency, unfortunately, so I get to be the singer, the songwriter, the mechanic, booking guy.
You are literally everybody.
Yeah, sometimes I'm the merch guy, janitor. Sometimes on our days off, if I got a kitchen, I'm the cook.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. It's fun. Like, I don't know. Stuff like that gets my mind off of other shit, though. Like, I love when I can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a fun life we get to do. Like, a lot of people, you know, like, there's days where I'm just like, God, this is fucking miserable. And then, like, I'll run into people that I saw from high school, and they're just like, dude, you're doing exactly what you wanted to do in life. And, like, I know, like, I had a friend that's, you know, he's probably way more set financially than I am, but he's just like, I'm so jealous that you just, like, found something you loved and went out and did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to always keep that present in mind, or it's easy to become ungrateful.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I'm going out and like for a living, I'm going out in front of strangers with this inanimate wood object with strings on it and like making loud noises with it. And like at the end of the night, they pay me.
Right. Right.
It's, man, like, that's like a dream come true for me. Like, what do you like, get to be loud? Like, and if I wanted to, I could get drunk.
Right, right. Yeah. Damn. Dude, I love you, man.
I love you too, man.
You've got it going on. You've got it, you know, you've got all the right things going. You're working hard. You are living the dream, man.
I am, man. Like, I'm living my dream. Like, it's not for everybody. You know, some people think the idea of getting in a van with a bunch of grown men is like an absolute nightmare, or, you know, I wouldn't want that. And I don't shame those people, or I don't think they're wrong for thinking that, man, because like, this is an easy way to burn yourself out.
Ooh.
And, you know, but for me, it's like, this is what I've always wanted to do. Like, I always wanted to just tour and play a whole bunch of shows and just go out and do it and work hard. And like, I just remember how hard I had to work at like being a mechanic. It's like, at least I'm not covered in grease right now. Like, at least I'm not under that semi truck that's dripping oil all over me, or it just pulled in and the engine's 200 degrees and it's 100 degrees outside and I have to shove my face in this motor.
Right.
Like, at least I'm not doing that.
True. True.
So
yeah,
you know, to go play it, to, you know, I get to grab a couple guitars that I like and take them out with me. And like, my band's my closest friends, you know, I talk to them more than I talk to my family.
Right.
So,
right.
I get to go do that. And like, I get to experience all these different cultures of America. You know, it's so crazy. You cross this imaginary line that we call a border, and like, the culture changes, the food's different, the people talk different, you know?
Yeah. And like, you know, maybe preconceived notions that you may have had of different areas, you know, changes once you get into those places.
Oh, big time, man. And it always makes me more grateful for the place I live in. Cause like, I don't know if you've ever been to Oregon. I can be in the desert, the mountains, and then a forest, and then the beach within 3 hours, 4 hours.
Damn.
Yeah, dude, yeah, we got everything there.
I've never been to the West Coast.
it's a neat place, man. I love Oregon so much, you know, like we hardly ever play at home because we're just going out everywhere else. You know, we only do a few full band shows around this area, just a few a year, but I'm always grateful for when I get to come home.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, the furthest west we've been is like Chicago and Nashville, and that's about it.
Nashville's fun, man. We were just there like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I went down Broadway one time, and I was like, man, my brain can't handle all this. It was like an overload for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, it's intense, that's for sure.
It is, man. And it's like, I don't know. It's fun to visit, but I would never want to live there.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's a lot of talent in Nashville, but man, there's a lot of shitty music coming out of there too.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I probably shouldn't bash other people's art, but like, I don't know. Some of it just feels like it was created in a lab.
No, because a lot of it is. You know, they're looking for that pristine sound.
Right, and I don't know. Like, there are. I mean, I guess you can find that everywhere, but like, and then like the people, it's like when people put Nashville recording artists in front of their name, it's like, oh, cool. Like, I didn't know sound waves traveled any differently there.
Right. Like it holds a different level. Like it has a whole different weight.
Yeah. Like you can buy those microphones and put them anywhere. Like,
right.
So I don't know. Like a lot of that shit really, really bothers me, but I don't know. Some of those people are doing better than me, so God bless them.
Also, don't forget our friends over at hogwashandrhinestones.com. Our good friend Ray is the owner over there. She makes incredible clothing that you've seen all over the place, from Nashville to Boston to everywhere in between. Some really big names have worn her stuff. That's Hogwash, the letter N, rhinestones.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You won't be disappointed. Check them out. Hogwashandrhinestones.com.
Well, you know, some people would argue that though too.
I don't. For me, it's like, don't put out anything that's like not authentic.
Right. Exactly.
And I see a lot of people that try to cash in on trends.
Yeah.
And that just isn't for me. Like if I don't like it, like I said earlier, like if I don't like it, I don't put my stamp on it.
No, that, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't at all, you know, at all. Don't ever do shit like that.
I don't intend to. I don't know. Yeah. I hope I have enough people around me that are honest enough and not afraid to hurt my feelings. I can just tell them, it's like, Eli, that ain't it.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why I work with a producer. Like, you know, he's not afraid to tell me, like, this isn't good. Like, it could be good, but right now it's not.
Right. And that's also a bonus to have too. You know, you want somebody that's not going to bullshit you.
Right. I'm not hiring a yes man when I pay a guy for his insight and intellect on, you know, in an outside perspective, you know, like I'm not giving that money to have a yes man and say like, yes, you're a god, like do everything this way.
Right. Exactly.
Like if you prove me wrong, like, and I can set my ego aside, like everyone wins. The song's better now. Like I learned something. Like I don't like being just deferred to as like, you're the boss. Like that's how it goes. Like, no, like I don't have all the answers.
Right. Cause if you did, you would definitely be doing something else.
Well, yeah. If I had all the answers, I'd be in a museum somewhere, you know?
Like... Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Eli, we could talk all day, man.
Dude, yeah, we can talk as long as you want, man.
We could talk all day long. But unfortunately, I gotta go do some more shit that I have to get done before the wife yells at me.
Oh, I feel that, man. But anytime you want me back, dude, I would love
anytime.
To.
Anytime, man. When things come up and you wanna get down and dirty, let's do it.
Yeah. God, we're in the middle of November right now. So the first Friday of December, I don't know if this will have aired by then, but we got three more songs off of our EP coming out. I did this tribute EP to John Prine.
Nice.
And two singles have come out so far, and the last three songs come out, and you know, subsequently the
remainder of the album is out first Friday of December, whatever date that is. I can't remember at the time.
Nice. Yeah, unfortunately, this won't be out by then. But
oh, cool. If you're listening to this podcast, I hope you've enjoyed this EP.
There you go. Yeah, man. It just with schedules and shit, like, I'm so backed up already with people. Like, I have episodes that I've recorded back in, like, September that still haven't come up.
Hell yeah. That's a great problem to have, dude.
I guess. Until people are like, when's my episode coming out? It's like, when I fucking get to it. How's that sound?
Yeah, dude, I got your number. Now I'm going to, every morning, it's like, hey, where's that episode?
Right. And, like, still, you know, out. I love it when, like, you know, some people are like, you know, I'm just curious. And, like, you know, some of them just are curious. And that's how totally longer? Fine, right?
That's what I'm going to text you. How much longer?
Right. It's like, you know, some things that I had planned for, like, this past week, you know, it's like, sorry, Shane Smith of the Saints are going to go before you, you know,
I mean, that's, Shane has put in so much work for so long, and like every bit of success they're having right now is so deserved.
Oh yeah. 100%. I agree.
A good group of dudes, man. Like, they've always just, some bands just like tolerate you when you open for them. Those guys go out of your way to let you know that you like, we're equals. Like, we're all humans here.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that about Shane. And his crew. Chase, Dustin, all of them.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it goes further than just Shane. Like, that whole crew is rock solid.
They are. And they're all, you know, authentic, great guys.
And shout out to his TM/merch guy, Corey.
Oh, Corey's the balls, man.
He's the man, dude. He helped me with the pre-order vinyls when I put out my first record. Like, I had all them shipped to his place, and he took care of distributing them for me. So, like, Corey is the man.
Yeah,
Corey. He doesn't get enough. Like, the crew never gets enough credit, dude. Like, the crew members are usually cooler than the band.
That's, you know, I gotta say, I can't disagree with that. I cannot disagree with that. And a lot of the, you know, in a lot of interactions we've had, we have seen that same thing.
Yeah, like, I don't know. There's the guitar tech for Whiskey Myers. His name is Naga.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we go to Austin, he lets us stay at his place, and he always goes out and watches us play. Like, he's looked over my guitars for me. He's helped me with tech questions that I have. Like, that dude is so rock solid, and I love that guy so much. So if my man Naga happens to listen to this, I just want you to know I love you, Naga.
Dude, if anybody from Whiskey Myers is listening to this,
not saying that the guys from Whiskey Myers aren't cool, they're really, really nice guys, and I'm really happy for the success they're having too. So yeah. I hope no one took that the wrong way.
No, I don't think. And if they did, shame on them, because
no, they're very, very nice guys. I'm very stoked that they've, it's hard for me to fathom. Like, they just announced a bunch of arena shows. Like, the first time I saw them was at Dante's in Portland. It's a 350 cap room. And it was on a Thursday night. And I remember the show wasn't sold out at a 350 cap room.
Damn.
And like, now it's just like, it's incredible. I see the pictures of the crowds they're playing to. It's like, fuck yeah, guys. Well done. And they did it by being themselves.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I just love seeing that, man. Like, they make music. They're another band that just kind of makes music the way they want to make it.
Yeah, they sure do. They sure fucking do.
Yeah, and like, sometimes Cody Cannon doesn't sing, you know, like some, like John Jeffers sang on a song. Like, they really just, like, there's no real rules to them, and I just love seeing that out of them.
Yeah, I do too. I really do, because they, you know, they're another one that has it, you know, and they are them. 100%.
Yeah. Like, they're not putting on a front at all. Like, I'm so friggin' thrilled that a band that is doing that got to the level they're at. And like, it's not due to gimmicks. It's just by having good songs and being a good band.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. 100%. And they, you know, I don't know. I'm biased, right? But if you work hard and you do it the right way, you deserve whatever comes your way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's kind of what my dad told me, is the harder I worked, the luckier I got.
Right. But if, like, you know, you're an asshole along the way, then that's what you're going to get.
Sometimes. Yeah. You know? It always catches up with you.
Sure does. All right, man. I want to keep talking, but I gotta do something before.
Well, hey, man. I hope you have a great day.
Before I get the
have
text
a good Thanksgiving,
of,
my man.
Yeah, same to you, man. Before I get the text of, hey, is all the stuff done yet? And it's like, yeah, no.
Well, dude, thanks for your time. Let's do this again in a couple months.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Anytime. I love talking to you. This has been a blast more than I think you ever will realize, man.
Thanks so much, man. And
thanks, buddy.
Yeah, dude, have a great day. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
You too, man. You have my number. Just, you know, whatever. Whenever you want to just shoot the shit, send a text, man.
All right. Sounds great, man.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
See ya.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Eli Howard. Eli's the man. I just got to get him out of the Pacific Northwest. Who the fuck wants to live up there? Anyway, a big thank you to him. You know, his music's great. His band is just as great as he is. You know, like I said at the top of the show, we could have talked. And, you know, but that's okay because we're going to have him back in sometime in 24. We'll get an update. We'll touch base. We'll do all the things. So, Eli, thank you again. Everybody, thank you again for tuning in. We also, like I said, we have Jesse Haynes on the show today. In another episode, we've dumped out a bunch of shit over the last couple of weeks. So go check it out. We greatly appreciate you for being here. And as always, you know, here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, we don't fucking bullshit anybody. It's all about real people, real stories. Real country. Thank you so much. Until next time, we'll see you later on for Jesse Haynes, or tomorrow we've got three episodes coming out. So until then, guys, until the next time we talk to you, keep those boots on the ground, whiskey in the glass. Cheers, y'all. Enjoy your Saturday.